Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
Good morning and welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will be discussing distinctions between the words veteran, soldier, warrior, and how they can be applied to real-life circumstances. And Swami will explain that the warrior is a mythological image and an archetype for the defender of truth, principle, and honor. Later we will talk about the differences in an individual's level of consciousness and degree of awareness. To be able to understand how war can be honorable instead of disgrace, meaning light in the soul. So, Swami, why don't you get us started when we were talking about the distinction between the words veteran, soldier, and warrior. What do you mean by that? How does that relate to Kriya Yoga?
Well, the first thing is the whole concept of a veteran, you know, somebody who has served in the armed forces. And one of the things is that, you know, we do uphold the greatest amount of respect for people that have, you know, served their country. And the gratitude that we have to those people for that service. But what we want to focus on is the whole concept of the difference between a warrior and a soldier. Because the warrior, as we have said in the beginning explanation, is a mythological image that the warrior is associated with the Mars principle in each and every one of us. And on the highest level, it is this innate drive that we want to be a whole and complete person. Now, for the most part, the things that we talk about here, this concept of apotheosis, this process of the human becoming divine, the whole thing, the distinction we make between what was referred to as sons of men and sons of God, that in today's world we have created soldiers. And whether we realize it or not, that to be able to put yourself on a battlefield without the benefit of this internal connection is exponentially that much more difficult. You know, it's kind of like the show that we had when we talked about sex out of marriage is a sin. You know, that it's not something that has anything to do with morals and conduct as it is so much about doing something without the power, a available resource. And so the same, I think, is true with the whole concept of the difference between a soldier and a warrior. And to really try and understand just how difficult it must be when you are a soldier without the benefit of this warrior image. And that's, again, one of the things that we're always talking about here is that we can be doing the exact same thing. But the variables that we work with are our levels of consciousness and our degrees of awareness.
When you were describing that, it reminded me of the Bhagavad Gita, you know, the story, you know, that whole, all of it takes place on the battlefield. Is that kind of the same thing that we're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, whether you are in the service or not, you know, that we are all fighting a hard battle. you know, the interplay between matter, mind, and spirit, you know, this internal struggle that we're all dealing with on a regular basis, independent of what our external circumstances and situations are. But to answer your question, there is a reason why the Bhagavad Gita does take place on a battlefield. You know, and that, again, is the myth of the story. That's the metaphor of this plight of consciousness that we're all dealing with. But what we would like to do is try and, you know, bring to the foreground, you know, that there is a difference between somebody who is just trained to kill as opposed to somebody who is defending honor, principle, and truth.
When you say those words, the defenders of honor and justice and all that, reminds me when I was a kid, we used to watch this Saturday morning cartoon. I think it was called the Justice League or something like that. And it was like, there was all these superheroes. It was like Wonder Woman and Superman and Aquaman. And I can't remember who else was there. But that's what they did, is they had to go around and they, you know, save the world from all these other bad guys, so to speak. Do you think the reason why that, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult, reason why we love our superheroes is because that's what we want to see in ourselves, and you talk about us wanting to become whole, and those superheroes would be what we would consider whole people, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, isn't that what we talked about, you know, with the labors of Hercules, that the hero, you know, is the boy who's separated from mother and then undertakes the labors and the task of this journey, of this plight of consciousness. And then, of course, you know, returns to become king. And that's a metaphor, that's a myth for this plight, you know, this gestation period that we talked about last week, of where we go from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. And when a human is in the adult state, you know, that would mark the accomplishment of the hero in this model.
So we're all, you know, living our lives every day. We get up, we go to work and come home, we have dinner, we spend time with our families. So how is a person supposed to start changing that level of consciousness so they can in turn become the hero? What's the first thing we should do?
Probably the first thing that we have to do is recognize that there is a difference. You know, that coming back to one of the things that we've been talking about is the whole thing of whatever it is that I desire, whatever it is that I use to sustain myself is going to determine what I'm going to become, my nature. And if we draw from the physical world, things that are visible and tangible, we will be of a lower animal nature. If we draw from the realms of energy, the astral plane, we will be of a human nature. But if we draw from the void, this invisible unified field, the absolute, we will become of a divine nature. And the characteristics of an individual, depending on what it is that you draw from, will be determined by your source of sustenance. And that's one of the things that we always say. I mean, to try and uphold the conduct of a human in the adult state when you are drawing from particles or waves is an impossible task for the most part. And so that's one of the things that most of us are trying to do or being asked to do. And the ramifications are somewhat staggering. You know, because it's, you know, that whole thing, that cliche phrase that I remember growing up with was something along the lines that God will never give you more than you can handle. And, you know, we have institutions filled with those who, you know, collapsed under the burden. So that's really not what I would say, you know, a solution to the problem. But the concept of becoming the warrior, you know, the whole thing of even, say, for example, like in their original formats, the martial arts, the martial artist is an individual that has the ability to operate in the absence of fear or anger. You know, that you can be intelligent in, you know, the moment of conflict or on the battlefield. And that's a big part of how our yoga practice works, the whole thing of cultivating the conscious mind so that now you are able to manage unnecessary fears. And of course, you know, when you're in a real life-threatening situation, like, you know, on a battlefield, to be able to have that sense of connectedness to a part of yourself that is eternal, that always was and always will be, won't negate the fears that are coming from your physical body, but it will make them small enough that you will be able to manage them, as opposed to if you are completely controlled by them.
When you were talking about becoming a warrior, in our description, you know, you wrote that we all have a Mars, and on a developmental level, we're all fighting a hard battle. Do we associate Mars with being the warrior? And when you say we're fighting a hard battle, you know, so every day, I mean, our life, I guess you could consider we are in a battlefield every day because we're trying to make this vertical leap in consciousness, and the world around us, the way it is, you know, pulls us back down. So is that what you mean by a battlefield, and that we have a Mars complex because we're trying to, you know, thwart our way up that level of consciousness?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we're talking about. You know, that Mars is our desire. It's what we want. And, you know, the conflict happens where your body has programming and it's looking for something that's dualistic, something that's visible and tangible. You can't become a whole person if you draw from this particular source of sustenance. And in order for you to grow psychologically and spiritually, there has to be this separation. But all of the forces are in favor of keeping us attached to the tangible and visible aspects of reality. So a big part of overcoming this is you had to learn how to work with this condition. You know, that's why most of our religions in their original formats have rituals, ceremonies, ordeals, ascetic practices. The way it plays out, it's kind of like the outside world is a magnet, and we are carbon steel. So the pull is very strong. Now, in order to separate from that influence, we have to refine ourselves. You have to change that carbon steel into a non-magnetic stainless steel. And that's where the rituals, the ceremonies, the ordeals, the ascetic practices had pragmatic application. That you're actually able to separate from duality, which in fact is fear and limitation. And then in the framework of doing that, you also want to recognize that we have desire. So you've got to be attached to something. And physics tells us that matter can't be created nor destroyed, only changed. So the whole intention was to reconnect to a different source of sustenance. And that's where it can get a little bit tricky, because we have three different dimensions of reality that we're dealing with. We've got the particles, we've got the waves, and then we've got this indivisible unified field, the absolute. And so you've got to be very careful that you don't reattach to waves. They're invisible, but tangible. Thoughts, the realms of thoughts, you know, I mean, they have traceability. They're dualistic. So, and it won't give you the return that you're looking for, that there's really, you know, that's why the books tell you there's only one God, there's only one truth, there's only one religion, there's only one yoga, there's only one number one need. Everything else was what they called the sin. It misses the mark. So a big part, process of becoming, you know, a whole person is, and that's why we say yoga is a path of action, it's a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion. And you've got to have all this stuff in place in order to separate from fear and limitation to reconnect to truth and wholeness. But then when you do that, everything will change.
All right, good. We're going to pause for a moment, listeners, to hear a word from our sponsors, and we will be with you shortly.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody the spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos. A cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos, a practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of this is totally
unfair. Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have unique talents and gifts to give back.
Private sessions. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303 or
www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I wanted to ask you a question. Recently, I just saw that movie Noah that came out earlier this year. And in the movie, Noah is portrayed in the beginning as a warrior because he has to fight for his family and protect them and whatever. And then he builds this ark, and of course, the whole story unfolds. So after I read the movie, the next day I actually listened to the book of Genesis or read the book of Genesis, and in it, it talks about, in the Bible it talks about sons of God and sons of man, and I guess Noah was believed to be a son of God. Am I right in assuming that? And do you also think that Noah was, in his own way, what we speak of as being the warrior?
Well, to answer your question, I think yes. The whole thing of sons of men and sons of God, you know, a lot of people think that all began with Jesus, which, you know, as you can say, if it was in Genesis, then it isn't a new concept. It's something that's been around for some time. But the way that I understand it is that our first birth is where we become, you know, this Son of Man. And then it isn't until you have this second birth, which is basically what we talk about, you know, that you come in and we're kind of a human mind-body complex and we draw from particles or waves, duality. And you have a very limited sense of who you are. And then we have to be taught how to separate from our attachment to this resource or these resources and reconnect to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. And then when we do that, you can't just do it intellectually. That's where I found most of our spiritual communities today. The institutions that have taken over our religions have failed so bad, is that we are substituting this intellectual devotional mirage for true spiritual reality. We're not doing the physics. We're not changing the pattern in our bodies. And we're not changing the reward circuits in the brain, so now that we are programmed to look for something that's invisible and intangible. But when you do that, you become this Son of God. You know, now it has almost the same dynamics as our first birth, if you really cross-examine it. You know, where your first birth, you're in an environment where everything is provided for you. And then you're catapulted out into the light and forced to breathe air now on your own. And so this next one is that we have to separate on another level. We have to separate the mind from our attachment to the tangible and now take another quantum leap and connect to something that's invisible and intangible. But it makes us become something different. There is a change that we call transformation. Not all change is transformation. There's only one thing. There's only one source of sustenance that will literally transform us into the divine.
I have another question to ask you as well relating to the book of Genesis. And in it, God says that the woman must be subservient to the man because of the temptations and when they banished them from Eden. Now, we know we don't mean that in a literal sense, as some people believe. So can you give us what you believe that represents? What does that mean?
Yeah, first of all, one of the things when I'm reading scripture is that it's always metaphor. So I don't look at the symbolism as being assigned to gender. You know, I look at it in, with regard to more what we would consider to be principle-centered. So masculine and feminine aren't necessarily associated with gender as much as they are principles. Just like in yoga, we use Ida Pingala, descending prana, ascending prana. The path of descending prana is associated with the feminine principle, and the path of ascending prana is associated with the path of masculine, of the masculine principle. So the concept of the woman must be subservient to the man is an interesting dynamic, because what the imagery is, the metaphor is saying, is that your masculine principle must be above your feminine principle. So whether you're a man or a woman, intelligence must override emotion or feeling. And one of the reasons is because principle-centered behavior is the bridge of building this connection to this invisible, intangible source of sustenance. You know, it's kind of like attracts like. You know, it's like when you're digging a well, that you need water in order to what they call prime the pump. So a big part of any kind of spiritual practice is initially you must employ the conduct But it's not about the conduct as much as it is about the connection. But it's, again, it's not gender sensitive. It's principle centered.
So principle centered behavior would actually be what we would look for in a warrior, right, as opposed to the soldier. So in our everyday walking life, people who are principle-centered, have principle-centered behavior would be warriors, and soldiers would be what exactly, like if I was to walk down the street and head to the grocery store and I come across, you know, a group of people, how would I recognize a soldier from a warrior?
Yeah, or maybe another way of saying it, I mean, what's the difference between a human in the larvae state as opposed to a human in the adult state? And that's one of the things that we say. You know, humans in the adult state are virtuous by nature. It's not something that they're trying to do. It's what they've become. You know, that to be able to regulate your behavior based on these values is very different when you are trying to do it as opposed to you have become divine. And again, oftentimes, I mean, you can't just tell looking at somebody. You know, it's one of the things like when we do our yoga classes, you know, sometimes people are, is this a beginning, an intermediate, or an advanced yoga class? And what we say is, well, we don't label it, you know, because what's going to determine whether it's a beginner, an intermediate, or an advanced yoga class is not necessarily the class itself, as much as it is your level of consciousness and your degree of awareness. You know, if somebody is doing a posture and drawing from particles and waves, it's a very different dynamic than the same person doing the same posture who is drawing from the absolute. One has the benefit of internal support and the other one is still drawing from external reinforcement. It's a huge dynamic. It's a huge difference. But the appearance is the same.
Yeah, well, that's a good analogy. Well, we have to start about closing down our show. So I would like to invite listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow us on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook. And also available to listeners are the online classes that you can access through our website, www.ipdtransform.com. You just click on the link for online classes, and that will direct you to PowHow, and from there you can select the classes of your choice. But keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming because we do enjoy hearing from you. Program next week, we'll be talking about the upcoming new moon, which will be in Sagittarius on November 22nd, and how it relates to the mind and relating to Kriya Yoga. So, Swami, before we sign off, do you have any final thoughts about today's show or show for next week?
Well, one thing that I would like to do is if there are any veterans out there who are struggling with any kind of syndrome or anything like that, you know, that we'd be more than happy to help them with some of the information that we have and also the practices that we employ, because I think they would be very helpful in helping them, you know, again, get the benefit of internal support and find solution to a lot of these common problems. And with that, I would wish everybody a good day and namaste, and also invite people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. And I'll give it back to you.
Well, thank you for being here today, Swami. And thank you, listeners, for tuning into our program, The Voice of Yoga, with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.